Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
We are about to get an announcement from the NCAA that will be one of the most unexpected in the history of college sports. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. And the NCAA, I believe, is on the verge. When I say on the verge, I mean, I don't know, next few days. Going to release a statement that if I could give you the boiled down version, it will be, quote, "We don't want to be in charge." That's what we're about to hear from an organization whose only history is being in charge. Do y'all know who Ed Sullivan was? I think he was the original in a category. Maybe the Kardashians today. I don't know, and a lot of people in between. But do you know what Ed Sullivan was famous for? He was famous for being famous. Like that, like Kim Kardashian. Why? What's she famous for? Being famous. There are a lot of people like that. But I think Ed Sullivan was he's famous for being famous. The NCAA saying we don't want to be in charge anymore, that's all you've ever been. That literally is the only reason you exist. You know, my father was in charge of the household when I was growing up, but he had like 78 other roles. The NCAA? No. Father to 130 kids with exactly one rule, bust that tail. We are about to hear from them. We don't want to be in charge. Now, specifically what I'm talking about is we don't want to be in charge of enforcing anything to do with name, image, likeness. Alternately known as, y'all about to cheat at unprecedented levels? Have at it. Here is a short version of a story that has emerged since yesterday's story. We remember yesterday's stories involving the Supreme Court of the United States. That was the story yesterday. And the Supreme Court, which again, is supposed to be this, you know, divided thing that's so polarized and political. I'm seeing some universal votes come out, some unanimous votes come out of the Supreme Court. And it's about a variety of subjects, but in this case, it's college football. 9-0. That you keep using the fact that, well, we've been amateurs all along, as justification to remain amateurs. And the fact that you can't cap compensation at whatever the value of the scholarship happens to be on a particular campus, that up to, I think it was like $5,900 is the total maybe, that as of right now, a school, it's permissive legislation. This came down from the Supreme Court, and then Brett Kavanaugh just started going off. And it was scalding towards the NCAA. Essentially, it was one of the nine justices saying, yeah, we all voted 9-0 on this, but specifically, I have some points to make. It's shocking y'all been able to continue this labor system as long as you have. I think the Alston case, which was announced yesterday, that was in the courts either like 7 years or 9 years. The wheels of justice, they do turn slowly, but they turn. And so yesterday they turned to the Supreme Court. They're nowhere else to go. Now, this was a ruling on one specific, and I'll say sort of narrow, point that by capping If I go to Marshall, yesterday I said Marshall, Vanderbilt, or LSU. Three wildly different amounts for a quality education, but they all have the same, that's all. Well, if Marshall's $8,000 a year and Vanderbilt's $70,000 a year, I only got a scholarship offer from Marshall. They would like to make it worth more, but that's all they charge. That's not fair. And in America, it's not fair. Can't cap wages. Not as an industry. As a company, cap them all you want. I'm opening Chuck's Cheeseburgers. I am paying $2.13 an hour. Well, I'm not going to have a lot of good workers or any workers. But if I got all the hamburger joints together and said, hey, as a fast food industry, here's what we're going to do with wages. That's illegal. And again, this is a very simplistic version, but the Supreme Court said yesterday, can't cap wages, that if there are educational benefits, if you keep crowing about, no, it's free education. All right, $5,900, laptop, tablet, whatever. So that came down yesterday. And immediately, a subgroup of NCAA, whether it's presidents, athletic directors, or whatever, they started working on a new version of name, image, likeness. Now, are we aware that dozens of individuals worked for more than a year to create a 30-page document outlining every aspect of name, image, likeness and college athletics that was ready to be voted on this past January? July 1st, when various states start having laws that are on the books, folks, that's next week. And now there is a splinter group of leadership who has decided, after the Supreme Court dropped a sack of hammers on the NCAA yesterday, yeah, we don't want this fight. We out. That's the new version. Dozens of people worked for over a year to create a 30-page document. About nine guys yesterday were like, yeah, over the course of lunch, we decided we have a better proposal. And I think it's going to carry the day. If you would like the short version. And by the way, can I throw, we in bone throwing, right? Ross Dellinger? Are y'all boys? Y'all know each other, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Ross, great guy.
Wow. Just a tremendous, and it's not a surprise because that's what Ross does. Sports Illustrated, correct? Yeah. He does a tremendous breakdown of it, okay? And if you want the long form of it, which is not really what we do in 2021, unless you're someone like Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons will write 5,000 words on something that could be a tweet. And so if you like that, Ross Dellinger, tremendous breakdown of what's going on with this. So go to SI and read Ross. Here is the short version if you don't or haven't or can't. The NCAA, this new, again, over a year, we created this 30-page document. Like nine people yesterday was like, we have a better idea. After reading the crawl on CNN, we have a better idea. The NCAA, we will say schools and states with name, image, likeness laws, y'all follow those laws. Schools in a state without name, image, likeness laws, you make up, administer, and enforce your own. Whatever you decide about name, image, likeness policy, as long as you write it down so that there are parameters, knock yourself out. So I'm going to get this wrong, perhaps, but I believe it is Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, New Mexico, maybe Maryland. South Carolina was about to. I don't know if they did. And I apologize. I didn't keep up with it because it was so much up in the air. I want to say there were seven or eight or nine states that have laws on the books. The NCAA is saying, if you're in one of those states and you play NCAA sports, go by those laws. If you're in a state without laws, make up your own. Regardless of where you are, Illinois or Florida, as long as two conditions are met, no paychecks for playing time, no straight cash payment to recruits, as long as those two conditions are met, there will be no penalties from the NCAA. There will be no reporting. There will be no investigating, no interviews, no sanctions, no nothing. Now, in trying to do a responsible job, those dozens of people that worked for more than a year of their lives and created a 30-page document, They were trying to cover every potential. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? That's the NCAA's business, is what about this? And do you know what they've never done? The smartest people on college campuses anywhere, that's who's trying to come up with the NCAA rules. Do you know what they've never been able to do? Come up with all the rules. Ever. And even the rules that they do come up with, they've never had the enforcement staff to be able to work through all the fights they pick. You heard Al Golden, Gene Chizik, Butch, so many people going, it's its own penalty is the delay. My good friend Richard Cross, sidelines, Ole Miss, he was like, our investigation's going to kindergarten this year. Our investigation is now five. So that's what dozens of really smart people worked a year on. Like nine people yesterday reading the crawl said, I got a better idea. How about we're out? That's going to sound real appealing, folks. And at that point, the only two conditions, no pay for play. All right. You're out there today. You got a sack. Here's $100. As long as there is no pay, no paycheck, no cash handed out as a result of stepping on the field, hey, Saturday, you got in the game. Here you go. You hit a field goal. There's an extra 30. And no just straight cash payments on the recruiting trail? Hey, no penalties coming from us. Folks, I can already think of about 612 ways to both reward someone for getting a pair of sacks against Tennessee and also paying them to come to Tennessee. I can think of anything else, 612 ways to do that right now that would fall under the umbrella of name, image, likeness. Now, I say all the time, there is a great deal of value. Instead of getting bogged down on how things should be, you deal with how things are. Do you know what this splinter group of leadership in the NCAA sounds like they're doing? They said, we ain't getting bogged down in how things should be. We are going to deal with the reality of how things are. And the only possible way for the NCAA to be responsible in this scenario is to say, we got nothing to do with it.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's definitely been a lot easier this year. There's not been near as many corrections, we'll say that. I don't even think our coaches could say it right before this year. Now everybody's sort of figured it out. The years helped us open the door with recruiting. And just allowed us access to a lot of different people that we maybe didn't have beforehand.
Jamie Chadwell, head coach of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, from Canterbury Tales. At least as far as I know, that is because your college football host has a degree in English literature. That was part of my undergrad as well. Chanticleers. I have to imagine that's what he was talking about. Dan, the pronunciation. Well, I don't have to correct as many people anymore. It says nobody knew about us. They would go 11-1 last year and go to a bowl game. And it was the first time that the Chanticleers made it to a bowl game because it was only their second season as a full member of FBS. I still want to call it Division I. It seemed to work. But again, that was Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina. It's interesting that he is still Jamie Chadwell of Coastal Carolina. Normally, when you look at a guy who is head coach at that level, doesn't always hold, certainly. But I want to say like the norm, maybe. Like you look at Liberty. Now, Liberty is much further along at this point than is Coastal Carolina as a FBS program. But Hugh Freeze, for various reasons, you once coached in the SEC and now you don't. Like Bill Curry. Bill Curry coached at two places in the SEC. And then he didn't. And then he was at Georgia State. See, Georgia State was just beginning a program. That's who they get. Somebody who used to have a name, you know, big name and some success. Bill Curry, he coached in the Sugar Bowl, did all that stuff. And Georgia State's looking for a little panache. And that's usually, you know, Hugh Freeze from Ole Miss. Well, yeah, but, you know, XYZ. And he's like, nah, we're Liberty. We'll take him. So we can rehab him. And so that's usually how it goes at that. Like Frank Solich was coaching in a national championship game, honestly, against. I'll say this, as talented a roster as I remember in college football, that Miami was a 2001 Miami out in the Rose Bowl. Nebraska didn't know if it was coming or going that night, man. And now Frank Solich is at Ohio. That's normally how it goes. Jamie Chadwell, his highest profile position before this was probably OC at Charleston Southern. He had a stop at Delta State, North Greenville, which is a college. And so there, it's a very Southern and South Carolina based coaching resume, but last year, his second year as head coach of Coastal Carolina, and they won 11 ball games, go to a bowl. So, he says more people know them now. I'm surprised that he's still there. If he were on the rehab trail, what I was talking about, like Butch Davis is at FIU. You don't have 1-5-7 season, then 11-1, and somebody's bringing you back to Power 5. See, Jamie Chadwell, that does happen. Holy smokes, who's that guy at Coastal Carolina? The next great mind. I wouldn't be – he's going to be one of those late November guys this year that gets a lot of conference. Jeff Levy from Ole Miss, the OC, et cetera. Dan, how are you today?
I guess they don't have to line up for that American Express commercial, huh? They don't have to – yeah. And we're contenders now. That's good for Jamie Chadwell and his crew. You know, Chuck, two things that I think at least in the social media era that people love to be, whether they admit it or not, is surprised, which they shouldn't be, and outraged. And those two things are going to come in the NIL era because for the longest time, we had a lot of people, pay them, pay the players. Then the argument was, well, you can't just pay the players because guess what? You're going to have to pay the star quarterback the same as you're paying the water polo athlete Yep. on the same campus who is making nowhere near the impact financially that the player on the football team is making. And now in the age of NIL, you're going to see the balance sheets come out, and it's going to be player XYZ is bringing in this many hundreds of thousands, maybe even upward to a million.
Oh, there's an Excel spreadsheet coming for every single kid in the program.
There absolutely is. Yep. And, of course, that's going to be used as a, hey, see the disparity between these sports and these sports over here where these sports are completely just given no exposure and no opportunity to be able to be successful. Well, let's be honest here, because there's only a ceiling of how successful said sports can be as opposed to college football, college basketball, the ones who bring in the television numbers, the attendance, everything of the such. And I guarantee you, that's coming next because it's going to be, how dare you, the corporate greed and everything. The haves are even worse than the have-nots than they've ever been. All of those things are coming. And, Chuck, we're only going to be just a few months away from those articles being published.
And gender as well. Remember the weight room facilities available during March Madness this past year. That's going to be a big part of it as well. And then you're going to have some very frank conversations, maybe, about the disparity between interest and then revenue generated in a lot of cases between not just sport to sport, but also from you know, female sport, male sports, et cetera. And so this is a ball of wax. Ain't no doubt about it.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We talk college football on this show, and bottom of hour one on Tuesdays, that means Dave Bartu. He is College Football Matrix. He's a good buddy of mine. I want to welcome him on right now. Dave, brother, how are you today?
Good, brother Chuck. It was 100 degrees out here in Oregon, which is weird as heck. I know back out in your way, you know, 95 with 95% humidity is, you know, called Tuesday this time of year. But shoot, when it gets above 95 out here, everybody just starts melting.
Oh, yeah. If you walk to the mailbox and back to the house and don't have to change your T-shirt, you're not in Georgia. I know that. let's talk a little bit about the – oh, and actually, you know, tell everybody what you do. I just – it's so much more efficient for you to come on, give everybody the back of the business card and the contact info. And so just go ahead and lay that out there.
Literally the back of the business card is I tell stories with numbers, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. And everything that you and I talk about, it's really not my opinion. It's what I see in the numbers. And so I'm just hoping that the numbers, you know, reading the tea leaves, I kind of get some things right once in a while and hopefully make it interesting when we're talking about these things.
You know, and I want you to flesh out an example because I asked you about Zach Wilson right after the end of the regular season, I mean, after the bowls and all that stuff, and he was starting to emerge. And then I asked you like a week before the draft, I was like, so has your opinion changed? And you're like, it ain't going to change. The numbers are the numbers. He hasn't played since then, so it ain't going to change. It literally is you have come up with the way to measure, not the way to look at what's happened and then give an opinion. You've come up with a better way to measure what has happened.
Exactly. Well, it's just using past behavior to predict future outcomes. That's it. You know, we're trying to find a pattern, and it doesn't have to be sports. You know, I just took up golfing. In the last 3 months. And so Monday mornings I golf with one of the local radio guys, and he's asking me, why are you making so many notes? And I'm like, well, I'm tracking to see what I do every single time to see if there is a consistent problem that I can try to fix. So Monday, I missed 8 putts by less than a ball length, all to the right. And so I started looking up what is the cause of that. And boom, change the grip, change alignment, and hopefully it won't be an issue going forward. So we can do this with everything in life. You just got to find the numbers.
Yeah, and I would tell you, as someone who has spent a decent part of his life playing bad golf, Tiger Woods could go out there and hit 74 with a broom handle, okay? So if somebody tells you that if you get this $600 driver, it's going to do X, Y, Z, just get decent enough equipment. You can have bad equipment, but just get decent equipment and you're fine, I promise you.
Yeah, well, that's all I have is decent enough equipment. But I get better by finding the weaknesses in my numbers, and so I just track my numbers.
Well, let's talk NCAA and the Supreme Court and everything else that's coming. They got bopped on the nose pretty good yesterday, and there's even more coming because apparently there's a splinter group of leadership in NCAA that says name, image, likeness. I have a better idea of how to govern it. We don't govern it. We just go hands off and say states' rights. It's up to y'all. I'm going to ask you something maybe outside your normal purview. What is the future of the NCAA actually being in charge?
Well, you obviously there's no numbers with that, so this is just a personal opinion.
Yeah. But you also have experience because you've got critters who have been on scholarship, and so you know how athletics works.
Yeah, I do, but I also know how power works, right? This is not the question you're asking is not an NCAA question. It is, do people in power want to let loose of their power? No. It doesn't matter who you are, political, religious, job. It doesn't matter. You do not want to let go of your power. So the future of the NCAA is going to evolve around the people that are currently in charge and somehow trying to keep their power. That's the future of the NCAA. That's the future of everything. Nobody wants to fold up camp and just say, oh, well, I guess we were wrong, and you can just have your millions and billions back, and I'm going to go find a new job in a new sector. It'll take time. These things grind. I mean, look how many years we've been talking about NIL.
Yeah.
Decades. You know, decades. So things move slow. We're an instant oatmeal, fast food, microwave society, and we want things to happen really fast. But usually when change happens fast, we look back and go, oof, I wish we hadn't jumped into that so quick. So there's a little bit of good, I believe, in a slow change. But, you know, with your question with the future of the NCAA, they will just morph themselves to regulate whatever new rules come out. I think that's ultimately it. I think a lot of people want to see NCAA folded. You're not going to see that. You're just going to see one that evolves with the laws they're given. They'll find the loopholes like we all do.
Oh, yeah.
They'll find a reason for existence. They'll find a reason to keep their salaries and keep their pay and keep the organization. It may be different, but it's not going away.
Dave Bartu, he is College Football Matrix. Let's jump into exactly what he does do every single day. And, I always want to talk about coaching changes and what do you think is going to happen? Let's go back a year, okay? Let's go back and look at somebody who may have already been on the job. We've been doing this for about 3.5 years now, and I am fascinated by programs that don't hire you. UT San Antonio, UNLV, Eastern Michigan, write the check. You have so much blue sky. Alabama, limited blue sky because they already max out almost everything. Marcus Arroyo at UNLV, your opinion going in, your opinion now?
Oh, opinion going in was it was a terrible hire. It was a terrible hire when Willie brought him on. This guy was a D-minus offensive coordinator before Willie Taggart hired him to Oregon. And when Mario was, I don't know if Mario made the choice to keep him, forced to keep him, I always said Arroyo was, his red herring was Justin Herbert. Herbert was so good, he was going to make Arroyo look good. And when UNLV hired him as a Duck fan, couldn't have been happier. Seriously, couldn't have been happier. It was almost as happy as the day that Florida State came in and took Willie Taggart. So to me, Arroyo was a bad offensive coordinator coming in. He's still a bad offensive coordinator. I think UNLV made a poor choice in coaching. He's a good recruiter. He'll recruit. He'll bring some bodies in. But as a coach, specifically an offensive coordinator, I think he's woefully subpar and will continue to be so.
All right. Now, I'm going to add just about the UNLV program, just as just one example. I've asked you about various programs before, maybe Rutgers, maybe Georgia, maybe some others. And there are some examples where you go, all right, I can tell you about this coach who's there now, but let's talk about the program. Is it him or is it the program where the either dysfunction or whatever? Can anybody win at UNLV? Like if Urban Meyer decided, NFL, I'm done with it. I'm going to Las Vegas. Do you think anybody can win where, like a realistic hire? I'm not talking Saban, Urban Meyer, et cetera.
Something. Look, San Jose State ran the table last year with similar recruiting. So, to me, it's not unreasonable to think that a program like a UNLV can catch lightning in a bottle. I wouldn't say be consistent long-term because of their recruiting level. That's still owned by Boise and should be owned by San Diego State. But to me, when you're talking about the Group of Five programs, there's a lot less talent there. To me, it's more about coaching. So if a UNLV, if a UTEP, if a Rice, if, you name it, Utah State, you get that guy. You accidentally stumble into a vein of gold. You can mine it for a while, but it's going to run out. They don't last forever. So it's really hard to build a sustained, solid, top-tier program from a bottom-half recruiting level in any conference. It doesn't matter who it is. So to me, when you're talking like the West Coast, in conjunction with the new playoff discussion, I think the big program to be talking about right now is San Diego State. I think that program on the West Coast has more to gain in terms of recruiting, in terms of viability, sustainability of excellence. I think that is the program we're talking about if a new playoff comes out like we're talking about.
All right, so is Brady Hoke the right guy? Because I'm just looking at him, and he's old guy who is defensive-minded. He's not young guy who used to play quarterback.
I don't know how he's the right guy. He hasn't been really the right guy for the most part. He had some success outside of Michigan. I mean, you got to realize nobody's really had a lot of success at Michigan, but it's a hugely overrated program, so we expect too much even out of guys like Jim Harbaugh. Hoke, he was brought in. He was there before. He was a comfort food. I don't think long-term that's going to be your answer, but we'll see how it goes. He had a good first year because of the culture Rocky Long left behind. I think long-term he's going to be replaced in the next 2, 3, 4 years, bring somebody else in. Actually, the replacement might happen right around the time of the new playoff. And let me tell you something, San Diego State's going to have a better chance of getting in the playoff with good recruiting than Cal, than Oregon State, than Washington State, than Arizona. Their recruiting on the West Coast should go through the roof when this playoff comes down the pipe.
Wow. One more question before we take a break. There are certain guys, like when Brian Daboll got hired in Tuscaloosa, people are like, what do you think? I was like, I don't know anything about him other than Belichick hired him and Saban's now hired him twice. Good enough for me. If Tom Allen wants you around, I'm not even kidding. It's June of 2021, and however long he's been in Indiana, that's how long it's taken. If Tom Allen hires you, I'm in. Tell me about Kalen DeBoer at Fresno State. Again, what you thought going in, and do you have a different opinion now?
Nothing there right now. I can't really have much of an opinion about West Coast football from 2020.
Yep.
They just didn't play a lot of games. Fresno, though, I'm curious with it because they made a really good hire in Tedford, and Tedford brought really good guys in. And I think Tedford's success was really more of a combination of really making good OCDC hires. He brought some really good guys in. Where Fresno goes from here, they might be kind of, actually now that I think about it, they might be kind of in line with a San Diego State, because Fresno's recruited well. They're in California. They're going to have a better shot to get in the playoffs than some of these other guys. But as far as trying to judge it off 2020, can't do that. 4, 5, 6 games, don't think it's fair that any of us try it.
Cal play like 3 games?
Yeah, they played 3, 4 games. They were under massive they had a lot of issues with the university policies, blah, 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 blah. But they did beat Oregon. They're returning a lot of people. Wilcox has been slowly turning that ship around. I'm just really interested in Cal from the standpoint of you got a new defensive coordinator, and he failed at his one job at Mississippi State for 1 year as a defensive coordinator. And you got a new offensive coordinator in college, Bill Musgrave, out of Oregon through the NFL. So there's a lot of questions with Cal, but there's a lot of potential there for 2021.
Yeah, and that's, as we moved west, it turned from thinking I knew to pretty sure I was guessing. As far like Boston College, I can kind of tell you about BC last year. Cal, I'm like, I can tell you what I think. Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix, we're going to take a break, come back, continue with him next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Catch Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Mi amigo, Nate Bartu, on Twitter at CFB Matrix. That is him. He is College Football Matrix, he and his whole crew, and they are a resource to just about anybody in the college football game, whether it's a coach, a head coach, a position coach, a coordinator, an AD, football ops, agents, even players. That's kind of creeping its way into his area of expertise. Dave, let's jump back into where you originally started with coaching. Let's talk about Arkansas and Sam Pittman, the first month of the season. Oh, my gosh, it's morning in Fayetteville. And it still was a feel-good at the end of the year compared to what they had with Chad Morris. Tell me again how you felt about Sam Pittman for the hire, and I don't know how because he didn't have a history, had no history, and what you think after at least having what 2020 was. What do you think of him?
Well, with Pittman, the initial reaction, actually 5 years ago, the initial reaction would have been, what a garbage hire. No experience, not even an offensive coordinator, not even a defensive coordinator. But in the last few years, we started getting into, let's start paying more attention to who's calling the plays, the X's, the O's, the OCs, the DCs. And the initial hire was nothing. Obviously, there's no information on it. And then we saw, oh, he picked up Barry Odom. Oh, my. Oh, look at that offensive coordinator. Oh, my. And now all of a sudden, the guy with no experience calling plays had arguably a top three OC-DC pairing in the SEC. So while Arkansas still is the worst recruiter in their division and probably always will be, they have a lot of upside on the play calling. So, you know, from a standpoint of can Arkansas be competitive and be a pain in the butt? Absolutely. They have the coaching to do so. So from a Pittman standpoint, didn't initially like the hire. That would have been the response because there's no information. But I do like how he put together the staff. It also bodes well for the future because he's likely not to keep these guys maybe forever. They may get a head coaching shot, you know, somewhere. But it tells me that he knows what he's looking for in a quality play caller, and I think that will carry forward. So I think overall right now, even after 1 year, I think the total package of the hire, and this is what we preach to athletic directors, try to understand you're hiring more than a head coach. You're hiring everybody they want to hire. So if I'd have been in the interview process and Sam Pittman would have said, here are my top guys and I can get these guys, I've talked to them. If I'd have known that was coming in to the program, initially the rating of the hire would have been much better. And I think after one season, it's panned out quite well. I think the numbers bore out pretty good for Arkansas. And we'll see how it goes into 2021, but I don't expect them to ever be a contender for the division or anything like that. But can they be a 7-5, maybe a, you know, lightning in a bottle 8-4 team that is a pain in the butt all the time? Yeah, they're going to be tough to beat with those two play callers they have at Arkansas.
You said that recruiting will always be a challenge, or they'll always be the worst recruiter in the division, and most likely they will be because of in-state, no kids, et cetera. And even some of the kids they have in-state, I mean, there's such a wild inconsistency on, let's say, level of play, quality, like what classification the schools are in, that it's just hard to even have apples to apples there. So we know with Arkansas in particular. I want to ask you a question. Either talk about Arkansas specifically or just in general use some examples. How does Sam Pittman and the Arkansas football program change their recruiting? Because I've seen it happen in places. I've said Oregon. There ain't no kids in Oregon. Oregon figured it out. So tell me, and I know it's money. All right. If Arkansas writes Dave Bartu a check and says, tell us how to improve our recruiting, besides spend more on it, what are the metrics? What's that proven thread weaving through all of it? How do you spend money in recruiting to improve?
Well, it may not be spending more money. It just may be taking the money you have and the time that you have and allocating it more efficiently. Because you can have all the money in the world, but you only have so many hours in the day to recruit, to be on the phone, to travel, to be in front of mom and dad, in front of the kids and the girlfriends and all that stuff. So to me, the first step in recruiting is always how can we find efficiency in the process to get to spend the same amount of time or less, but get a better quality guy, to get a guy that sticks longer, to reduce attrition. So the first step in that is actually not looking forward. It's looking back.
What's worked?
What has worked? Well, the first thing, the first thing is what data do you have? You know, so let's say I'm at Chuck Oliver University or Arkansas. Okay, I'm going to go, hey, what data have you been collecting over the last 20 years? And I've gotten every response. I've gotten, we haven't been collecting anything. Okay, you've been spending millions on recruiting but collecting none of the data. That's not very bright.
So if you ask, you ask a university who hires you in the state of Florida, why have you only gotten one recruit from the any Tampa area high school in the last 8 years? Oh, we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't have the data, then their answer is, oh, we don't know. We haven't thought about it.
Right. We're not tracking it. It's the same thing with fundraising. You know, I talked to an AD. So do you know who your best segment of donors are? And the answer on that is always, oh, yeah, I know all my donors. No. Do you know who they are? Not personally, their profile. You know, where did they go to school? What zip code did they live in? How much money did they make? Are they married? Are they not married? You know, what college did they come out of in the university? Were they business? Were they medical? You know, you have to take what you currently have and analyze it to be able to target what you want in the future. So Arkansas, okay, we need cornerbacks. Awesome. Let's look at the last 20 years of cornerbacks that have and have not worked at Arkansas. Height, weight, speed, grades, you know, the county they came from, how far away are they?
Did they play other sports? How are they academically, et cetera?
Right. Were they hurt before they got here? You know, all of these things. The more data you have, the better. And now all of a sudden, you know, so if they don't have anything, the first thing we need to do is put a system in that starts collecting it. Then the second thing we need to do is we need to take all the current players and retroactively ask them all these questions. And try to start building the database so that going forward, we can go, hey, Dave, it's Sam Pittman, or hey, Dave, it's the director of football ops. It's never the head coach. Never the head coach. It's always somebody else. Hey, we're the head of the football ops. We got one scholarship. We got three guys we really, really love equally. What do the numbers say? And we have a system where you can just go in and go, okay, let's see here, Chuck, Dave, and Brad. Oh, man. Brad has a profile that is just better for sticking around and being a contributor than Chuck or Dave. Now, Chuck and Dave might overall be better, you know, somehow, but the numbers say Brad is our guy.
Dave, I got like 15 other questions about coaches and programs and specifics I didn't get to because I want to know more about this. We can do it again in 7 days, you promise?
Yeah, just in the break, write down all your questions. You know where I'm at, buddy. I promise I'll be there.
All right, Dave Bartu again. We will join him next Tuesday from College Football Matrix. Always appreciate his time. Take a break. Come back next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.